would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn to 2 Chronicles. I'd like to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And just in saying that, I'm sure that most everybody knows the verse that we'll, Lord willing, be trying to look at this morning. Who knows what verse? If we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, what's the verse that most of the time we look at?
14.
Verse 14. I've been trying to think and pray exactly what God would have me to preach at the close of this year and the beginning of a new year. I've had a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different subjects, and wish I had time to preach all of them, because there's just a lot of beautiful things as we think about the end of one year and the beginning of another year. And this particular thought that's on my heart is just to get back to some of the basic things. There are four very basic responsibilities that every child of God has. And I'm glad that God sometimes in His Word, sometimes God will just take one verse of Scripture and He'll kind of summarize everything else. This is one of those verses of Scripture that has so much contained in one verse that if you'll just do what this one verse says, you'll just do the four things that are mentioned in that verse, you will honor God, you will serve God in a very wonderful way during this coming year. Not only will you honor God and serve God, but God has given us a promise here that if we'll do these four things, He will bless our lives. And we can't make it one day without God's blessing. So we need to pray that God will help us to think about these four things and do these four things every day, knowing that God has then promised He will bless us beyond measure. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from the Word of God, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the God of heaven and earth, who is our Heavenly Father. Lord, we're so thankful that You're not only the sovereign God, but that You're our Heavenly Father, that You love us with an everlasting love. We're thankful that You have chosen us and redeemed us. We're thankful that we're Your children, not because we've chosen You, but because You've chosen us. We're thankful that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. But we know that in spite of the fact that we try to serve You, we know that we all fall short. So we're thankful for Your mercy and Your grace. We're thankful for all the blessings that we've enjoyed during this past week and the beginning of this week. Today, You've already blessed us, Lord, and we thank You for those blessings of this day. Pray that You would help us not just to thank You with the words of our mouth, but by the deeds of our lives. Help us to show forth the gratitude that we feel for Thy goodness to us. We adore You, we praise You, we confess and acknowledge that we are sinful creatures. We thank You, Lord, for all the blessings of life, and just pray that You would bless all those who've been mentioned here audibly and in the bulletin, and that You would bless all of Thy people the world over. Bless every minister to preach the Word of God this day, and that You would bless the people of God to hear and understand, believe, and obey Thy Word. Help us all to be doers of Thy Word and not hearers only. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We'd like to read now from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning in verse 12. The Word of God says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." I want you to notice again at the beginning of this 14th verse that God says He's not talking to people that are not children of God. He's talking about those that are children of God. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, that is other people, look at them and say, now, There's a Christian. There is a child of God. There is somebody that loves God and fears God and is trying to serve God. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, then he says four things that we're to do. If they shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, then will I hear from heaven. I want you to know, first of all, that God sometimes refuses to hear our prayers because we have not been doing what he tells us to do. But he says, if you'll do these things, you'll humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, then, a promise from God, I will hear from heaven. I'll hear your prayers, and I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. Now, brethren, I know that we can look at the United States of America, how as a land and as a nation, we need healing. And I know that we can look at Georgia, that we are in a drought, and we've had fires here in Waycross. We've had a lot of other kinds of problems. And I want us to also know that in our homes and in our personal lives, that the three things that God says he will do, that we need it individually, as well as in our families and the church and the state and the nation, we need God to hear our prayers. We need him to heal our land, and we need him to forgive our sin. So in order for that to happen, he says there are four things that we must do. And the first thing he says is that we must humble ourselves. Now, some people think that they don't need to be humble. Some people feel like they are already humble. But I want all of us to understand that what's the opposite? First of all, what's the opposite of humility? Okay, I think that pride is the other end of the spectrum, that pride is the opposite of humility. And I think, brethren, that pride is a part of human nature. I believe that it is a tendency. There is a tendency in all of God's children. That's the reason he says, if my people which are called by my name shall, what's the first thing they need to do? They need to humble themselves, because we all have a problem with pride. Different degrees and different areas of our lives, but we all have a problem with pride. The Word of God says that pride goeth before what? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit, which is very similar to pride, a haughty spirit before a fall. So if we don't get rid of pride, if we don't humble ourselves, we're going to be destroyed. I'm not talking about dying and going to eternal hell. I'm talking about individually, our families, the church, our state, and our nation. If we don't humble ourselves, if we hold on to pride, if pride is a major part of our lives, we will be destroyed. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. God's Word also says that all sin falls into one of three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what's the third category that he lists there? And the pride of life. Pride is a problem that we have. If you go all the way back to the beginning of this world, in the Garden of Eden, one of the ways that Satan tempted Eve was that he appealed to her pride. And he says, God knows that you'll become as gods, and you'll be wise. It was pride that was one of the things that he tempted Eve, one of the ways that he tempted Eve, and it's one of the ways that he tempts every one of us probably every day of our lives, is that we have a problem with pride, even if we don't recognize we have a problem of pride. So we need to pray, God, open my eyes. Help me to see that pride is a problem that I have, and that we all have, and then I need to know I can do something about that problem. I can do something about that sin of pride. Do you have to be pride? Do you have to stay proud? No. What does God say here? If my people which are called by my name shall, what? Humble themselves. I need to humble myself. Now, can God bring me down? God can bring me down. If I don't humble myself, God will bring me down. But I have the power by the grace of God, and you have the power. We have given we've been given the opportunity and the privilege to humble ourselves. To humble ourselves. That's something we need to work on every day. One of the things that causes husbands and wives to have problems is pride. Does that ever enter into problems, conflicts between husbands and wives? Is pride? Does that create a problem sometimes between parents and children? Is pride? Does it create problems in the church whenever one begins to be jealous of another and we have a problem with pride, or one group wants their way to be done and what they want to be carried out, another group wants their problems or their desires to be carried out? And the problem of pride is just something that we all need to acknowledge we have, and we need to humble ourselves. You know, I remember we used to have billboards around, and I like to hear this song. I'm going to tell you what I like. There's a song that's a very patriotic song in a lot of ways, and I cry sometimes when I hear it. I'm talking about I cry for joy, but somehow I wish the words could be changed a little bit. Anybody know what that song is that I like to hear? I'm proud to be an American. I love that song. I wish the song had a different word in it. You might say, well, you can be proud of your children. You can be proud to be an American. I'm telling you that you studied the Word of God all the way through, and you do not find that the word proud is ever used by God's people and in the Word of God in a positive way. Pride is something we ought not to have. Being thankful to God and acknowledging that what we have is a gift from God is completely different from being proud. And I encourage you, don't you let the devil tempt you in thinking, I'm not really proud, because you are proud. In fact, you're proud sometimes because you think you're not proud. I had a member in Columbus. He was one of the finest men I've ever known. He'd do anything for anybody. But almost every time he would pray and he would say, oh God, I thank you I'm not proud like other men are. Oh my goodness. Do you hear what's contained in that? I'm so glad I'm not proud like other men. Listen, it was pride that caused him to say he wasn't proud. And he was full of pride. And we all have a problem with pride. Did the apostles have a problem with pride? About the very 12, the best men, the men that Jesus chose to be his apostles, the closest friends to Jesus while they lived here on this earth, do you think that they had a problem with pride? Listen, sometimes we have a problem where we just think so much of ourselves, it's just hard to imagine how proud we are. Other times we look at other people and we compare ourselves to other people and we think about how wonderful we are. How many of you girls think you're prettier than other girls? Don't raise your hand. I remember when I was in high school, I thought I was the prettiest boy at high school. Not pretty. One of my grandchildren said, you're not pretty, you're handsome. But I used to think I was handsome. Isn't that pride? Isn't that vanity? We just need to pray, God, help me to be more humble. Why do we have so many things? It's because we want to impress people. Why do we want to impress people? It's because we're proud. The 12 apostles came to Jesus on one occasion and said, Lord, which one of us is the greatest? Which one of the 12 apostles? Just tell us, Lord, we know we're the 12 of the best men on earth, but which one of us 12 is the best man? We want to know which one's the best. They were arguing about who was the best apostle. And Jesus told them, except ye be converted and humble your... And what? Humble yourselves. As this little child, you will not even enter into the kingdom of heaven. They want to know which one was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. They weren't even in the kingdom of heaven. Do you follow that? That they were full of pride, arrogancy. Pride is something we all have to pray that God will help us to humble ourselves. If we will humble ourselves, if we'll be converted and humble ourselves, we can enter the kingdom of heaven. Did you know that As long as you're full of vain pride, you cannot be in the kingdom of heaven. It takes humility. You have to humble yourself. Except you be converted and humble yourselves as this little child, Jesus says, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You remember Jesus gave us another parable in Luke chapter 18. He says, two men went up into the temple to pray. One of them was what? The first one, the Pharisee. What was he? Give me one word that describes the Pharisee. He was what?
Proud.
He was proud. And he stood and prayed thus. Here's what the scripture says. He prayed thus with himself. You ever prayed with yourself? In other words, you didn't really pray to God. You didn't really commune with God. You were just praying with yourself. I'll tell you, brethren, we all need to pray that God will help us to really pray. See, the first thing he says, we're combining prayer and humility here. Because the first thing he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. What's the second thing he said? Pray. I'm telling you in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, in that passage of Scripture, he's talking about humility and prayer. The man that was proud, the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself and said, I thank thee, O Father, that I'm not as other men are. Well, what was wrong with him? Oh, he thought he was different than everybody else. Didn't Peter think he was better than the rest of the apostles? Oh, Lord, they may all deny you. I'll never deny you. What was it? It was pride. And we all have a problem with pride, and we all need to pray, God, help me, help us to humble ourselves. Help us as a church to humble ourselves. Can a church get proud? Do churches get proud? What happens when a church gets proud? God will bring her down. Why? Because God despises pride. We need to be thankful to God. Are you proud of all these young children? I'll tell you, brethren, we need to be thankful for the young children. It's God that gave us to them, gave them to us. They're a blessing from God. We don't need to be proud that we have. We need to be thankful that we have these children. Are you thankful that the house of God is full? You don't need to be proud. You need to be thankful. You need to understand if God stops blessing us, it's the end of us having and enjoying so many blessings that we have today. Can God take all these children away from us? Can God take all the men away from us? Can He take all the women away from us? What about these elderly people? I'll tell you, they're a great blessing to the church. There are times that while I'm preaching, I feel like that God speaks to my heart and says, the reason I'm blessing you right now is because of the prayers of those elderly people. There are some of these people that I tell them every Sunday, I need you to pray for me. Because, brethren, I know God hears their prayers. Do you know why God hears their prayers? There's a reason. There's an order here. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what's the first thing? Humble themselves. And then what? And then pray. You remember those two men that went up into the temple to pray? One of them was proud. What about the other man? The other man felt that he was a sinner. He was an humble man. He smote upon his breast and would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. And he said what? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What was he? Was he humble? And was his prayer heard? What does God say He'll do when God's people humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways? You know what that publican had done? He had done all four of those things. You know what God did? The Word of God says that God says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. The Word of God says that that poor publican, after he left the house of God, after he had prayed that prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, the Word of God says that man went down to his house justified. There was a healing that took place. God heard his prayer. He forgave his sin, and he healed that land. He healed that man. He healed that earthen vessel. Not talking about a physical sickness, I'm talking about a soul sickness. He knew he was a sinner, and God healed him. You know what we need to do in order for God to hear our prayers, forgive our sin, and heal our land? We must humble ourselves. We must pray. The Word of God says men ought always to what? Pray. You know, it's wonderful to hear people praying. I love to go around people. I love to hear people. There are people that work in the nursing homes and other places that I just listen to them. There are several at Baptist Village. And other nursing homes. I like to just watch them and listen to them. I remember one lady out at Baptist Village a few weeks ago that her evidently her arthritis was hurting her real bad, and she started to kneel down to put some little boxes of cereal under the little cabinet there in that room, and when she knelt down, she said, "Help me, Jesus, help me, Jesus." She got down, she said, "Thank you, Jesus." And then she was putting them back there, and she was singing a little song, "Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord," putting those boxes back there. And then she started to get up, she got a hold of that counter in that cabinet. She said, "Okay, Jesus, I need your help now. Help me up." And she got up, and she said, you could just hear the bones cracking, and she said, "Thank you, Jesus." You remember Sister Queen Waters? I'll tell you, brother, she'd get out of that car out there. Anybody that went out there could hear those bones cracking. You could hear the bone rubbing against bone. And I'll tell you, she prayed to God always. And the more we need, the more we realize, listen carefully, the more we realize we need God's help, the more we realize we need God's help, the more we're going to be praying. Men ought always to pray. Every day, wherever you go, you get in the car, what do you need to do? You need to pray. Are there times that you need to pray more fervently than others? Certainly. What about mealtime? Is it important that you pray at mealtime? Well, yes, it's important. Is it important that you pray at mealtime no matter who you're around? Is it important that you pray privately? Listen carefully. Is it important that you pray privately? Is it important that you pray when nobody else is hearing you pray? That is important. Is it also important that you're never ashamed to confess Christ, that whether you're in a restaurant or no matter who's around you, that you're willing to bow your head and say, "Let's join our hearts together in prayer"? No matter where you are, you need to always confess Christ and declare, "We need to pray and thank God for this food. We need to pray and thank God for His blessings." Pray, pray, pray. You remember what the disciples asked Jesus? They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Should that be a prayer of our heart? "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Don't just teach us how to pray, but teach us to pray. Teach us how much we need you every day. Lord, teach us to pray." When the Word of God says in Luke 18 that men ought always to pray, then Jesus spoke a parable right after that, and He talked about a widow woman that stood in great need, and she kept going to the judge, asking the judge, "Help her, help her, help her." And the Scripture says that judge had no fear of man or God, but because of her importunity, because she kept going and going and going, the judge finally granted her request. And God says that His people ought to have that same kind of importunity in praying. Pray, pray, keep praying. Pray when He doesn't answer your prayer immediately. Keep on praying. Don't stop praying. The persistence in prayer is something we all need more of. We need more private prayer. We need more public prayer. We need more persistence in prayer. Well, there's three P's. I've always wanted to do that. What a preacher does. You know, these fancy preachers, they get three P's. And I can't even say it again now. Private prayer, public prayer, and persistence in prayer. Listen, it's important, brethren. It's important that we pray. I know this. I know I don't pray as much as I need to pray. Did you know that? I don't pray as much as I need to pray. I need to pray more. I need to pray more fervently. I need to pray without ceasing. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I need to say, "God, help me here. Guide me here. I need your help right here, Lord. Guide me here. Protect me." What do you do when you pray? Lord, teach us to pray. You go home and study that example of prayer, and He teaches you how to pray. You worship God. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Isn't it good just to think about God? Yes, it is. Just to adore God. In fact, that gets into the next phrase. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves," and what's the second thing? Pray, and then what? "Seek my face." Just seek His face. Now, there's a difference in seeking His face and praying. Usually when we're praying, we can be seeking His face in prayer. But what do you think is the main thing that we typically do when we pray? Is it adore God and worship God in prayer? Is that the main thing we do? Is that should be part of prayer, is to adore God. We should be confessing our sins in prayer. Is that the main thing you usually do when you go to pray, is confess your sins? No. We should also be giving thanks to God. The Bible says that every time we pray, we're to be giving thanks to God. Is that the main thing you do when you pray, is give thanks to God? We should be adoring God, worshiping God. We should be confessing our sins. We should be thanking God for all the blessings we have. Oh, how much do you have to thank God for? How much do you have? Now look over this say it again. Everything I have. Thank you, Sister Nellie. And loving one another. That's right. Everything we have, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him every day. You wake up in the morning and all your family's alive and well, you need to get on your knees and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All during the day, we have so much to thank God for. So we need to humble ourselves. We need to pray. We need to seek His face. I want to stay there just a minute. What does that mean, to seek His face? Just to seek His face. Just seek His face. That means just to think about God. Just to keep thinking about God. You know, I think that song, I was laying in bed last night thinking about just seeking God's face, and I thought about this song, How Great Thou Art. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. That whole song, you know what it's doing? It's just seeking God's face. It's looking at how great God is. How great God is. Just seek His face. Not seek His face in order to get something, just seek to see God. David says this in Psalm 27 and verse 4. David says, listen carefully. David says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I, what's the next word? That will I seek after, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. But what did He come to do? He came to what? Behold the beauty of the Lord. Sometimes Teresa says, what are you looking at? She said it to me this morning. What are you looking at? I said, I'm just looking at how pretty you are. Just behold the beauty of the Lord. Listen, brethren, when you love God and you realize and you can see, get a glimpse of God, you'll sing, you'll praise God when you see His beautiful face. In fact, after He says in that Psalm 27, verse 4, He said, One thing will I seek after, to behold the beauty of the Lord. He comes on down in verse 8 and He says, Lord, when You said, seek My face, He says, Thy face, Lord, did I see. You hear that? Does God... Was this scripture way back here in 2 Chronicles 7:14, was that the first time that God ever told the people to seek His face? No. When David was writing, was that one of the few times that God's Word talks about people seeking the face of God? No. Is it rare today? In America, do you think it's rare for God's people just to seek His face? I think it's very rare. I know it's rare in my life. I know it's rare for me just to seek His face. I know some people that do that, that they spend a lot of time just seeking the face of the Lord. And brethren, when you just seek His face, your heart will swell up, your cup will overflow, your soul will rejoice when God reveals Himself to you and you see the beauty of the Lord. My people which are called by My name shall humble themselves and pray and seek My face. And then He says what? Hardest one. I don't know if it's the hardest one or not. Every one of these things, you know, it sounds simple. Just four. If you'll do these four things this coming year, if every day you'll just do these four things, you'll be 100% better, at least 100% better than you are right now. The last thing He says is turn from their wicked ways. Do you have anything to turn away from? Is there anything in your life, anything in your heart that you need to turn away from? Anything in your mind that you need to turn away from? Anything that you're doing that you need to turn away from? If my people, which you call my name, shall turn from their wicked ways. Give me one word that summarizes that last statement. Turn from their wicked ways. What's one word?
Repent.
Repent. Did you know that that is the number one thing that God's Word says, Old and New Testament? That's the number one thing God says to His people over and over. Repent! Turn from their wicked ways. What did the people of Nineveh do when Jonah went there and preached to them? Did they humble themselves? Did they humble themselves? You remember how they put on sackcloth and ashes? And they humbled themselves. Did they pray? Yes, they were praying fervently for God to spare them. Did they seek God's face? Indeed, they did. And did they turn from their wicked ways? Yes. And then what did God do? God heard from heaven, and He forgave their sin, and He healed their land. And Nineveh was spared right then from being destroyed because they did what God told Solomon to do back there in 2 Chronicles 7:14. What about that prodigal son? Did he turn from his wicked ways? Did he turn from his wicked ways? Yes, he did. He went back to his father's house. Listen, brethren. We need to pray that God will help us to see what our wicked ways are. Sometimes we sing that song, Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart Today. Well, God knows my heart. He knows your heart. But I need to search my heart. I need to examine myself. I need to consider my ways. Because when I do, I'll realize I need to humble myself. I'll realize I need to pray. I need to seek God's face, and I need to turn from my wicked ways. What did John the Baptist begin preaching? What was the first word he said?
Repent.
Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What's the first thing Jesus said, first word he said preaching? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, brethren. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven and feel the blessings of God every day, if you want God to hear your prayers and forgive your sins and heal your land, you'll just do those four things every day. You'll live a wonderful Christian life. May God help us to do it, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.